The methods of modern psychiatry sometimes seem as primitive as those of folk medicine. I mean, take aversion therapy. Picture, if you will, the scene of a man going to see a psychiatrist with this problem. He is having an affair with his secretary, and every time he sees his wife, he screams.
Right, well, I don't see why this shouldn't be done. One method, of course, would be deep psychoanalysis. Delving deep into your past to discover the subconscious reason why you scream when you see your wife. Yes. For example, it might be possible that when you were a child in a pram, a thrush may have popped into the pram and pecked you on the cheek, causing you to scream. And you might subconsciously associate the thrush with your wife, Mary. Has she got a very long nose?
No, not very sharp. She hasn't any feathers, doesn't eat worms.
It is purely an example, Mr. Weatherskill, but this is a very lengthy process, 75 guineas. So I would suggest a somewhat more radical way of rooting this problem out. And in particular, I would suggest the course of aversion therapy.
Aversion therapy?
Aversion therapy.
What does that entail?
Well, it entails this. It's a process which I pioneered myself in the United States of America with great success. I had particular success with a famous cowboy film star. Do you remember him, Roy Mix?
Oh, yes.
Roy Mix.
What a performer.
He was in a terrible state, you see, because he had a wife and two lovely children like yourself. But unfortunately, on the set, he had become infatuated with his horse, Trigger. He'd become madly infatuated with his horse. It was a magnificent animal.
A wonderful beast.
A magnificent animal,
yes.
And he was living in the stables with Trigger.
Yes.
And he came to me wanting to get back to his wife, but unable to because of this infatuation. And I prescribed the course of aversion therapy. And the method was this. I flashed up a picture of his horse, Trigger, on the screen, and then I hit him round the head with a cricket bat. And then I flashed up a picture of his wife on the screen and gave him some strawberry yogurt, to which Tom, like so many of the Hollywood greats, was addicted.
Yes.
And very rapidly he began to associate pain with his horse, Trigger.
The cricket bat, yes.
The cricket bat, precisely.
Yes.
And pleasure with his wife.
Strawberry yogurt.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Very soon he went right off his horse and back onto his wife.
It was, as I'm sure you guessed, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Doctors are the professional guardians of our health, and the poet Francis Quarles reckon they've got a pretty good deal.
Physicians of all men are most happy. What good success they have, the world proclaimeth, and what faults they commit, the earth covereth.
Voltaire was cynical about their skill.
The art of medicine consists of amusing the patient while nature cures the disease.
Benjamin Franklin didn't have much respect for doctors' recommendations of abstinence.
There are more old drunkards than old doctors.
What about drunken old doctors? But it's easy to snipe at doctors and forget all the hard work they do. Also, they have to suffer the indignity of being constantly quoted by their patients, particularly in sick notes to employers. Here are a few examples of the sort of thing they mean.
Dear sir, I was very sick in the night, and now I've got a very bad head. The doctor thinks I should shake it off today.
Here's another.
Dear sir, I started yesterday with a runny nose which has developed into a throat. As you can imagine, I feel rather odd.
And finally?
Dear sir, my nose is so blocked, I don't know what to do. The doctor says I should put my feet up.
Or possibly he should just have the nose replaced. There's more and more transplant surgery going on these days.
The other day, I was feeling ill. I went to the doctor to get some pills. He looked at me in despair, said, my friend, you're badly in need of repair. Now with this up-to-date surgery, we get our spare parts from the menagerie. So if you kindly sit down a while, I'll just telephone for a crocodile. And soon I had the heart of an ape, the liver of a chicken, the blood of an ox through a tube which was digging to my spleen, which I borrowed from a cow. I was human once, but I'm not sure now. Walking down the street, me girlfriend, I happened to meet. Me out went bom diddy bom, just like the ape that I got it from. The ox blood boiled, I started to move. I was pouring on the ground, what else could I do? So when at last she walked on by, I said, cock-a-doodle-doo, and started to fly. Help me, I got the heart of an ape, the liver of a chicken, the blood of an ox through a tube, which is taken to me spleen, which I borrowed from a cow. I was human once, but I'm not sure now. Going out one night, me and a fella got into a fight. I hit him with a left, I hit him with a right, but somehow I just couldn't finish the fight. No matter what I did, he kept coming at me. He was the stubbornest man I ever did see. It was in vain, I find out at last, this fella's got the jawbone of an ass. I mean, I got the heart of an ape, the liver of a chicken, the blood of an ox through a tube, which is digging through my spleen, which I borrowed from a cow. I was human once, but I'm not sure now. Help me, doctor! Well, in the end, I was getting fed up. I said to the doctor, look, man, I've had enough. All this animal junk won't do. Give me some organ that doesn't come out of the zoo. He said, well, now, what about this for size? I tell you, I can hardly believe me eyes. I looked at this thing with dismay and suspicion. It was the brain of a politician. I'd rather have the heart of an ape, the liver of a chicken, the blood of an ox through a tube, which is taken to me spleen, which I borrowed from a cow. I was human once, but I'm not sure now. I was human once, but I'm not sure now.
He ended with mood music. That was the transplant calypso, written and performed by Jeremy Taylor. The importance of diet in health has always been recognized. And if you think the campaign against cholesterol is a modern phenomenon, listen to this extract from John Armstrong's very long, very heavy poem, The Art of Preserving Health, published in 1744.
The languid stomach curses even the pure delicious fat and all the race of oil. For the more oily aliments relax its feeble tone, the irresoluble oil, so gentle late and blandishing, in floods of rancid bile o'erflows. What tumults hence, what horrors rise, when nauseous to relate.
That's two biles. So lay off the fat, everybody. And according to William Cobbett, watch what you drink.
Let me beseech you to resolve to free yourselves from the slavery of the tea and coffee and other slop kettle, if unhappily you have been bred up in such slavery. Experience has taught me that those slops are injurious to health. Until I left them off, having taken at the age of 26, even my habits of sobriety, moderate eating, early rising, even these were not, until I left off the slops, sufficient to give me that complete health which I have since had. I pretend not to be a doctor, but I assert that to pour regularly every day a pint or two of warm liquid matter down the throat, whether under the name of tea, coffee, soup, grog, or whatever else, is greatly injurious to health.
He wanted us all to drink beer. And of course, as well as watching what you eat and drink, you should try to develop your body. But again, take it easily.
Remember what happened to Mr. Wainwright?
Tragic business.
A tragic business. He saw this advertisement, you see, which said, tick off which parts of the body you wish to improve, you see. Do you want a chest like a barrel? If so, tick. Do you want legs that never tire? If so, tick. Do you want arms like Roger Steele?
If so,
tick. Precisely. And it was 2 guineas for each part of the body. Now, Mr. Wainwright only had 4 guineas to spare.
Oh, yes, because he'd been off work for a fortnight with that carbuncle, hadn't he?
He had a very nasty carbuncle. And so he wrote away to the 2 parts of the body he thought needed building up most. Namely, his extremely puny chest. For puny it was, that. Namely, his very puny arm. So back come the brochure, and he exercised away for months on end. And eventually, he built up this magnificent chest, just like a barrel. Just like the advertisement said. Wonderful. Arms. Arms like length of steel, they were. He had a superb, great big torso. But the tragic thing was that due to lack of funds, he had not built up the legs that never tire. With the result that one day he's running for a Green Line bus, and they snap like twigs beneath him.
Awful warning from Pete and Dud. Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. Of course, exercise is important to health. as the old proverb has it.
Those who do not find time for exercise will have to find time for illness.
And one should certainly try to do a little more than Ring Lardner used to.
The only exercise I get is when I take the studs out of one shirt and put them in another.
With me, it's bones, isn't it? The collar. Fred Allen recommended a specific form of exercise.
I like long walks, especially when they're taken by people who annoy me.
Long walks and even more long runs are becoming increasingly popular. But all would-be joggers are given the same advice. Take it easy at first. Once again, Alfred's dear friend John Armstrong, in The Art of Preserving Health, spelt out the message.
Begin with gentle toils, and as your nerves grow firm, to hardier by just steps aspire. The prudent, even in every moderate walk, at first but saunter, and by slow degrees increase their pace.
Another way of keeping the body in trim is by massage. Here's a snippet from a New Zealand newspaper.
In 1918, Miss Green joined the New Zealand Army Nursing Service as a masseuse. She has served on several local bodies.
And while we're on the subject, a little poem by J.B. Morton entitled Health and Fitness.
Bruised by the masseur's final whack, the patient lay without a sound. Then coming to, he hit him back. Now masseur's in the cold, cold ground.
And yet, however fit we are, we're all susceptible to a variety of bugs and viruses that strike us down at any moment. Thank goodness nowadays there are drugs and treatments to deal with a lot of the germs that attack our health. Mind you, they can have side effects. A report from an Australian newspaper.
The committee has arranged to apply the vaccine to 20 calves in October, and 3 months later, 5 or 6 more will be inoculated. Later, some of both lots will be killed for the post-mortem examination, and if it is likely to prove beneficial, human beings will be similarly treated.
Starting with the pommies. Well, it's worth trying anything. Common illnesses can be very disruptive, especially to sporting fixtures. A snippet from a girls' school magazine.
The mixed games had been eagerly awaited for some time. Unfortunately, due to mumps, many of the St. Cuthbert's boys couldn't make it.
And this one is from the Harrovian.
The match was unfinished owing to measles. Craghurst was compelled to scratch.
At least with these infectious diseases, no one expects you to do anything but go to bed and recover. Whereas if you've just got a cold, it's often assumed that you'll carry on regardless. As a gesture of sympathy to all of you who have suffered from really bad colds, Mr. Alfred Marx will now read in his best poetry reading voice an anonymous poem entitled Bella Gully Days.
Chilly November with its boding blast, no cub that strips the bedow and the lamp. Even October's sunny days are past and summer's gone. I know not what it is to which I cling that stirs to song and sorrow, yet I trust that still I sing, but as the linnet sings, because I must. And now farewell to roses and to birds, to larded fields and tingling streamless eek. Farewell to all articulated words I fain would speak. Farewell, my cherished stollings and the sward, green glades and forest shades, farewell to you. With sorrowing heart, I wretched and forlorn, bid you adieu.
But perhaps, whatever's wrong with you, the best thing you can do is go along to your doctor for a complete physical checkup.
I'd like to see Dr. Mittelschmerz, please.
I'm Dr. Mittelschmerz.
You are?
Mm-hmm. Did you call earlier, Mr. Probert?
Yes.
Oh, won't you come in, Mr. Probert?
You're Dr. Mittelschmerz?
Yes, I am.
You're a lady.
Yes, I'm a woman doctor.
You get a lot of kidding?
Pardon?
Do people kid you about it a lot?
Never. may I have your the spelling of your name?
Yes, P-R-O-B-E-R.
Dr.
Krinst recommended me.
Yes, I know.
Yep.
Show me the phone. What's your first name, Mr. Probert?
Klaus.
Klaus Probert. And do you want to just give me your age?
Yes, I'm 32.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can go over the childhood diseases after. Suppose you just tell me your symptoms now.
Well, there's a constant kind of, not pain in my stomach, but a discomfort.
Well, discomfort, is it low down in the abdomen? Or
yes, and it's pretty low down. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what I eat or whether I eat or not. Mm-hmm. It's not a sharp pain, but mm-hmm. it's just like mm-hmm. kind of an unpleasant sort of sicky feeling.
Yeah, accompanying nausea?
Nausea occasionally, yes. I sometimes wake up nauseated.
Mm-hmm. How long has this been going on?
Oh, about 3 months. That's mm-hmm. when I began to think that I thought it would go away.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Have you been checking your temperature?
Yeah, my temperature is normal.
You've had your appendix removed?
Yes, I took it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it anymore.
Yes, and
no appendix.
And you've never had any.
I don't really miss it.
Any serious operations of any sort?
No, the appendix is it.
You had any trouble with your stomach before?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take a look at that stomach. Do you want to just slip off your clothes and get up on the table here?
Pardon me?
Just slip off your clothes. Wrap this sheet around you. I'll step on it if you feel uncomfortable.
All right, thank you. Dr. Kent certainly was remarkable the way he took out that old appendix. I mean, I was in the hospital 2 days, and he had me up on my feet. And,
yes, that's the policy now.
Yes, they keep you walking.
Was there any after effect?
Oh, no, it was a little difficult walking for a few days, but it certainly was a remarkable thing how quickly it happened.
Yes, well, you'd be surprised at consequences that they found occur when you keep someone in bed too long.
Yeah, all right, I have the sheet on.
All right.
Adhesions and so forth.
Oh, yes. Now let's see. Let me just take a look at this. Here, I want to lower the sheet. Can you unclench it a little? I just want to lower it a little bit.
Well,
just unclench it a little?
I can answer any question that you'd like to ask.
I don't see there's any tenderness in the area.
Oh, it's pretty tender.
Yeah.
It is pretty tender. I can tell you that right now. I can just assure you of the tenderness.
Well, suppose I just take a look. Here, let me just lower the sheet.
Doctor? Doctor, I beg you.
Is this
hurt? Doctor, please.
No!
Doctor, please. No, wait. Can you wait just a moment? Please, I have something to tell you. I'm very ticklish, and I haven't actually been to a lady doctor before.
Your stomach.
Yeah, I know, but...
Doctor,
please.
Here, now, does this hurt right now?
Hey, no. Oh, no, not at all.
All right, and what about here?
That's fine.
And here?
Fine.
Yeah, this isn't so difficult. There.
That's all right.
There.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Breathe in, will you? You have quite a chest expansion, don't
Thank
you?
Thank you.
Go to a gym?
I play a lot of basketball.
Excellent physical condition.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I did some swimming, too.
Mm. How old did you say you were?
32.
Excellent physical condition.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know too much about your diet. Does your wife cook for you?
I'm not married.
Mm-hmm. I can't seem to find anything to marry with that abdomen. Can you relax the muscles of it for a moment?
They are relaxed.
Oh, really? Yeah. Excellent physical condition. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Sometimes perhaps worry might cause it. What is your profession?
I'm a lawyer.
Are you?
Yes.
Do you do a lot of work?
I'm quite busy, yes. Law firm, but I mean, I work myself to death. I have evenings free.
Oh, you are successful without working that much.
Yes.
Well, I can't seem to find anything really wrong. I do have a suggestion, and that is I think that you should get to bed at about 8:39 and try to avoid any kind of social activity for the present. I would suggest rest.
Rest for a while.
A lot of rest. And come in and I'll check you again in about an hour.
Mike Nichols and Elaine May. Well, that's about it. We'll close with a couple of health hints. First from Mark Twain.
The only way to keep your health is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not.
And from George Ade.
Early to bed and early to rise, and you'll meet very few of our best people.
So till the next time, from Alfred May.
Bless you.
Oh, I've got well.